Let's take the Word of God and turn in the Scriptures to Ezekiel chapter 39, where we will hear God's Word. And you remember last Lord's Day, we began hearing about the prophecy about Gog and Israel, and how Gog was going to invade Israel, and yet the Lord was going to bring that about and yet stop them. And then destroy them to make his name known in Israel. And we continue with that prophecy in chapter 39 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 39 verses 1 through 29. These are the words of God. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God. Behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. I will strike your bow from your left hand and dash down your arrows from your right hand. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord God. And I will send fire upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands and in safety, and they will know that I am the Lord. My holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned any more, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it shall be done, declares the Lord God, that is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who inhabit the cities of Israel will go out and make fires with the weapons and burn them, both shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, war clubs and spears, and for 7 years they will make fires of them. They will not take wood from the field or gather firewood from the forest, for they will make fires with the weapons, and they will take the spoil of those who despoiled them and seize the plunder of those who plundered them, declares the Lord God. On that day I will give Gog a burial ground there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will block off those who would pass by. So they will bury Gog there with all his horde, and they will call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Even all the people of the land will bury them, and it will be to their renown on the day that I glorify myself, declares the Lord God. They will set apart men who will constantly pass through the land, burying those who were passing through, even those left on the surface of the ground, in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months they will make a search. As those who pass through the land pass through, and anyone sees a man's bone, then he will set up a marker by it until the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And even the name of the city will be Hamona, so they will cleanse the land. As for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every kind of bird and every beast of the field, assemble and come, gather from every side to my sacrifice, which I am going to sacrifice for you as a great sacrifice on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, as though they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. So you will eat fat until you are glutted, and drink blood until you are drunk, from my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. You will be glutted at my table with horses and charioteers, with mighty men and all the men of war, declares the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment which I have executed and my hand which I have laid on them. The house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God from that day onward. The nations will know that the house of Israel went into exile for their iniquity, because they acted treacherously against me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and all of them fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness, and according to their transgressions, I dealt with them, and I hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. They will forget their disgrace and all their treachery which they perpetrated against me when they live securely on their own land with no one to make them afraid. When I bring them back from the peoples and gather them from the lands of their enemies, then I will be sanctified through them in the sight of the many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations and then gathered them again to their own land. And I will leave none of them there any longer. I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord God. Those are the words of the Lord. And so again, this chapter continues and concludes the prophecy of Gog and Magog, and whose destruction God crowns His grace to His people, who now shine brightly after the scattering of that dark cloud of the enemies who came, as we heard last Lord's Day. And that dark cloud in verses 1 through 7 we see will be utterly destroyed. It seems to communicate not one will be left alive, all so that the name of Yahweh would be made known to Israel. And in verses 8 through 10 you get a picture of the destruction's vastness. He even says that all their weapons would be burned, and so they don't have to go any longer for a few years, 7 years, to chop down any trees or anything like that, to burn fire, to cook or anything like that. They have all these weapons that are made of wood, and they'll be using those weapons and burning them up. Everything that was brought into the land by these enemies who were destroyed, it will be used up. And so their spoil that was once Israel's will be, again, Israel's spoil. Through verse 16, they cleanse the land and bury the dead, and it gives how they were to do that. And those who weren't buried, as they took a long time to bury them, 7 years it says, the animals would come, God's creatures, reminding us again in verse 17 of the creation, who made the creatures, using that same language that God uses in Genesis, that those creatures would come and feast upon the bodies before they're buried. Even if the people were marking where the bodies were and they hadn't been picked up, as we often think of it, animals would come and tear those bodies up and eat and survive off of them instead of attacking each other. And through this, the nations would see the glory of Yahweh. And then the rest of the passage, we see a declaration, the last few verses, a declaration of God's gracious purposes concerning His people. He will restore them and show grace to them, show mercy to them. At one time, as it says in verses 20 and after, 21 and after, it was because of Israel's iniquity and transgression that they were made to go into exile because of their uncleanness. And so they had to be, in some sense, cleansed through their exile. And then the Lord will restore them and show grace to them, show mercy to them. No longer would they ever be afraid again. And it reminds us of being in Christ and being redeemed. We are not to be afraid. How often we see that even when the Lord comes, He says, do not be afraid. And it was the same in 1 John. We are not to be afraid of the judgment because we are in Christ. There is no fear in judgment because we are in Christ. And so He's here instructing Israel that they were to learn from the past. And Yahweh says, and I will be jealous for my holy name, verse 25. And that should put further the fear of the Lord, not the fear of bodily harm or earthly fear, but the fear of the Lord, that should be put within them to remember that their God is a jealous God for His, what? Not just for Him, but for His holy name. And so, as these are now His people, they've had the Holy Spirit put within them, changing their hearts. As it says in verse 29, reminding themselves that this God, Yahweh, is a jealous, and He's jealous for His holy name. It would remind them to be continually looking to keep His commandments and seeking after that, because He is holy and He is jealous for His name. That they would love Him and sin no more. And of course, that's our calling, and so we are to love the Lord and sin no more, because our God is a jealous God. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, jealous are You for Your holy name. And we're thankful that You are a God who upholds all things by the word of Your power and all the promises of communicating Your grace and mercy to us. You do it because You are a God who is jealous for Your holy name. And we thank You for that. We thank You that You have made us, though we do deserve all the pains of hell forever. You have chosen us to be Your children, to be part of the sheep of the fold, of which You are our good shepherd. You have brought us into Your family and adopted us. And we have You as our Father. And we're thankful that You are a jealous God, a holy God, who has a holy name, the name Yahweh, which declares Your faithfulness. Faithfulness and truth and goodness and all Your character is wrapped up in Your covenant name. And so, Father, we pray that Your name would be exalted and held high even in our hearts and in our lives and all the words we speak and all the actions and thoughts that we have and make. We pray that Your name would be exalted, that we would praise Your name, that we would love Your name as we love You, and we would turn from all our sin. And Father, we ask of Your Spirit that You would turn us from our sin, that we would not grieve the Spirit, that we would love Your Spirit and submit to Your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who has given us the Word and who speaks to us into our hearts, which we cannot do ourselves. Even we cannot hear with our ears Your Word, except by Your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, do Your great work of salvation and sanctification in our lives. And remind us of the promises, the hope that remains for us in Christ and in glory, as we've been hearing in 1 Peter. Father, we thank You for the inheritance You have provided for us already and guaranteed for us, even though we are strangers and aliens in this world now. In some sense, we are exiled here. And yet we know You will bring us, guaranteed without any doubt, You will bring us before Your throne forever, even as we have a foretaste of it now every Lord's Day when we gather together and worship Your holy name. You will bring us unto Yourself before Your Son, being with You forever and ever, of which we long for now. Of course, because we struggle in our souls still, and we struggle in our bodies. And so, Father, we pray for those who are sick or struggling in their bodies, even those who are not able to come because perhaps they thought it was safer in keeping the sixth commandment to stay at home. We pray that You would strengthen all our bodies and keep us safe as You are our King. Protect us. We thank You for the things that we're often complacent in considering, of the homes You have provided for us, roofs over our heads, beds to sleep in, and pillows to lay our heads upon, running water, even the ability to heat that water so that we are comfortable. And yet, Father, we ask, as You have blessed us in such great ways, that we would not be complacent in our hearts and in the lives we live for you. Father, make it not so that our comfortableness of living and the riches that we have make us to be complacent in your Son or in meditating upon your Word, that we so grieve the Spirit that we sin greatly against you. Father, cause us to remember that you are jealous for your holy name. And so cause us to love you and sin no more. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.